If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Now I have reached a new level, having spent the last couple of days listening to Hamlet. Hamlet, a production of my pal Jeremy McCarter's make-believe association, and starring a local guy, Daniel Kyrie, as the Danish prince. Fellas, I'm bold. Thanks for coming on the air to further explore this. I'm blown away, for lack of a better phrase. What do you think about that?
That's wonderful to hear. Thanks, Rick. I mean, that's the reaction we were going for all the time we spent putting it together. So thank you.
Well, the time putting it together must have been intense. Jeremy, I got to ask you, you have done some remarkable work with the Make Believe Association and with podcasts and some very creative work. How did this idea, what's the seed of this idea? Hamlet's a very familiar play. You call it the most famous play ever written. It's a big challenge. And you say to yourself, well, gee, maybe I'll adapt Hamlet and do something with Hamlet. That's a bold step, I think. How did it occur?
When you describe it back to me, it sounds absolutely crazy.
Yes, it does.
But it came from a strange place. I gotta say, we Make Believe Association, partly, you know, a big part of what we do, we want to be a showcase for Chicago artists and Chicago stories. We were not looking to do a Shakespeare adaptation, but I noticed a couple years ago when I was listening to something on headphones that we have this special superpower when audio storytellers can get listeners to put headphones on. We can put the story directly inside their heads. It's almost as though you, the listener, are inside the head of the main character, and that what that character hears, you hear as it's happening all around you.
Yeah.
And so I thought, well, if we have this superpower that we can put the audience inside somebody's head, who would be the most interesting head that we could put people inside? And I just thought, well, Hamlet. I mean, maybe the most famous play ever, because of how vividly Shakespeare puts us inside Hamlet's mind as everything is unraveling and he's going mad. And from that impulse, then everything followed. The couple years of development and recording and post-production and the best part of all of it was getting to work with Daniel, our phenomenal actor.
Yeah, I have to talk to you, Daniel. You have been a star on Chicago. So you were Hamlet at the Gift Theater 5-6 years ago, yes?
Yes, that's correct.
That's a great... If you could, just to get off the topic for a couple minutes and just tell... Gift Theater is one of my favorite places in the world, and Michael Thornton is one of my favorite people on the planet. You're a Chicagoan. Gift Theater harkens back, to my mind, to the old legendary days of Chicago storefront theater. Praise it for a second, if you wouldn't mind.
Sure. Working at the Gift had been on my list for a while. My earlier career in Chicago, in Chicago theater, I had just sort of left school, and so I'd had the opportunity to, and I grew up here as well. I'm born and raised in Chicago,
yeah.
Right? So I'd had the opportunity to see and engage with a lot of storefront theater, yes, and some of the sort of larger houses and things that we have here. And the Gift really struck me, for its cleverness and its intimacy,
yeah.
The closeness that you get in a space like that. And also, its leadership, I think, is so fantastic in keeping that mission kind of in mind, really bringing the audience to the work. And I wanted to be a part of something like that. So getting to do a bucket list role and a bucket list play and a bucket list,
in my bucket list city, yeah.
In the best city in the world. It was such a fantastic time for me, and I got to connect with Michael personally, and he's become a wonderful friend of mine as well. So, yeah, it was beautiful.
I haven't talked to him in a while, but give him my best. We go way, way, way back. Let me ask you, that was your first time tackling the role at GIFT, Hamlet?
Yes. So that was my first attempt, is what I'll call it. My first attempt at Hamlet was at the GIFT Theater.
Jeremy McCarter, did you see Daniel Kyrie in that role?
I did. Daniel and I, we had already worked together at that point, and I had admired him before I got to know him or had the chance to work with him, so there was no way I was going to miss it.
Mm-hmm.
And, Rick, like all of us, I've seen Hamlet a bunch of times.
Yep.
Seen it done different ways.
Sure.
And this GIFT, one of the things that's wonderful about the space they use for that production, it seated maybe 90, 99
yeah.
people. So
yeah.
We're right there with it. And
right.
I just remember feeling mesmerized by Daniel's soliloquies and filed it away that if I ever got the chance to do the play, wouldn't it be exciting to, line him up with a bigger audience, more people could have that experience.
Well, Daniel, having worked with Jeremy, I'm sure you admire him. I've had drinks with him. We've not collaborated on anything, and I admire him, too. But when he came to you with this idea, how did he present the idea to you? Did he say, look, you were great in the Hamlet I saw here on stage, but I got another idea here. We're going to do it in a different sort of way because it's a vastly different – I actually think it's a greater way. But how was the pitch, and did you say, of course, sign me up right away? Or did you take convincing?
I absolutely believe that you know Jeremy very well. Some of what you just said was directly in his pitch. when it came time, I think, for Jeremy to tackle this thing and want to tackle it, he came to me and was like, I don't know that I want to do this with anyone else, and you were the first in mind. And those were every actor performer wants to hear that, obviously.
Of course.
Right? So I was like, oh yeah, sick. But then also just like, it is Hamlet. And so I said, yeah, Jeremy, I'm gonna take a beat. I need to kind of know if I'm ready to tackle that again. I suppose you're correct. I did it in the summer of 2018. So
yeah.
That's some years ago now. And yet, so much of that initial attempt at this still lives in me. And so I just sort of, I was nervous. It's a lot to take on, and you want to feel ready for. You want to feel prepared and sort of worthy of the text. And I had to think about it for a second because it's dark and it's heavy. And the last time, some of the stuff stayed with me is longer than I care to admit. And but this time around, one of the deciding factors for me personally, on a personal level, was that I think I have become a healthier artist. And so I was willing and thrilled also by the challenge to approach it from this new vantage point that I have in my life.
I think
I did it in my early 20s last time, and now I'm doing it at 30. It's like, it's great to kind of revisit in that way. So
I
said yes.
Well, I don't blame you, and I'm glad glad you did. And it had to be a marvelous collaborative thing, but I'm also thinking, I'd like you two to address this. As you started doing this, were you something to think about when we take a little commercial break here. Jeremy, you couldn't have been always sure that this would work. It wasn't kind of, oh, well, yes.
No.
Yeah. I want to talk about that. You say, well, maybe I'll get Daniel and I'll get someone else, and then we'll be able to do this and adapt to one of the most famous plays in history. We'll be back in a couple minutes with Jeremy McCarter, who does many things, but he has created a thing called the Make Believe Association that stars Daniel Kyrie, born and raised in Chicago. And you can listen, as I did, to all seven parts of it. Daniel Kyrie is a local actor. Jeremy McCarter is a local What do you call yourself now, Jeremy? You're an entrepreneur. You're the Saul Hurock of Chicago. He's a writer. He's not an actor, as far as I know. He has taken the incredible leap of it scares me even to think of adapting Hamlet. Shakespeare was a pretty good writer. I'm going to adapt this this play. One of the things, and the way it is presented in the 7-part podcast now available, and I think if you want to go sample it, I think you should also go to makebelieve.fm, because you'll get a lot more about the Make Believe Association. Is that right, Jeremy? Is that the best place?
Yeah.
I think it's a
sure. I mean,
go ahead.
The most direct route, the quickest way to find it is go to hamlet.fm. And if you go to hamlet.fm, you'll see that we've got links so that you can listen to it wherever you choose to enjoy your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, you name it. But hamlet.fm will send you to wherever you'd like to end up.
So the whole point, and Daniel, I'm still stunned. Unless you presented this to Daniel in a bar or something, I'm almost surprised that you didn't run out screaming, "Are you nuts, Jeremy? Are you nuts?" Because you would have had to sort of show what is going on in the mind of Hamlet. You have to kind of have a script that gets rid of every scene that he's not part of in the way Shakespeare wrote the play. Is that articulate enough for you guys to explore that so-called question?
Sure. I mean, it was a bit of a challenge, and mm-hmm. there were definitely some scary moments and wondering if this was all, you know, going to come together at the end. But basically, as you said, the idea was, we're going to put you inside Hamlet's head.
Yep.
You're going to experience the play from his point of view. It was really important to me that if we were going to say that this is Shakespeare's play presented this way, then all the words had to be Shakespeare's. I knew that I had to tell the story in a way that it wasn't going to be me sort of throwing things in when I got stuck. So I started with this. The one thing that's reassuring, Rick, is, you know, there are three versions of Hamlet that we attribute to Shakespeare. So anytime you go to see it in a theater, chances are someone has already done a little adapt.
Oh, sure.
Even
sure.
if only to pick and choose among the three versions. So I felt like I'm going to take the three versions. I'm going to see if I can make one version of it where everything is happening to Hamlet, but you, the audience, are still going to understand the story because, you know, there's some essential stuff that happens when Hamlet is off stage.
Indeed.
So I had to use some descriptions of things that happen off stage to turn them into things that happen, you know, where Hamlet is involved. And I will give a lot of credit on this. When I finally had a script that I thought made sense, I called up a friend of mine, the Shakespeare scholar James Shapiro, who's at Columbia University. Jim and I had worked together in the years when I was on the artistic staff of the public theater there, and he's one of the world's leading Shakespeare scholars. So I called him up and I said, "Jim, I have this sort of crazy idea. I want to try to tell the story of Hamlet entirely from Hamlet's point of view. Would you mind reading the script and let me know, are the Shakespeare police going to come and take my laptop away for having attempted this?"
Yeah.
And he read it and was really enthusiastic about it. And that if Jim's sort of, you know, go forth with this is the reason why we are having this conversation today.
Wow, that's great. You sent me three little clips because I really think it's important for people to hear what's going on here. I'm going to play one now. I'm going to play a couple others later. It's only 3 minutes long, so both of you, Daniel, you had to be... This had to be kind of an audio challenge for you. You must have had a million microphones, or I don't know. You know, I'm literally a technological caveman. It's stunning. I've heard that about four times in the last 5 days. What do you guys think when you hear it? Jeremy McCarter, who adapted it, and Daniel Kyrie, who plays it. What do you think when you hear that? Does it still thrill you, or does it still thrill you, or does it thrill you? Do you say, "Oh, I should have done that differently," or like, "I'm sick of or "I'm sick of hearing this"? How do you feel?
Please
go, Daniel.
Oh, sorry, go ahead, Jeremy. I'm still thrilled by it.
Yeah, I mean, I feel gratitude. I mean, you know, I've had almost, we spent basically a year in post-production.
Wow.
We finished recording, I was taking everything and getting the specificity of it and the clarity. And so you really do need to wear headphones to get all of it. Your listeners, you're getting a beautiful experience of it now, but to get all of it, what our astonishing mad scientist, visionary sound designer, Mikhail Fixel, came up with. When you put headphones on, you're in the middle of it, and what I'm thinking about mainly is just gratitude for everybody who worked on it, but Misha Fixel, who, you know, had to design all of that sound, so that if you close your eyes, you feel like you're really in a castle.
Yeah.
By the great John Douglas Thompson, and then Daniel, and you can hear it. The reason why you got to hear that clip is because I think it is the very beginning of the whole series. But you can hear, even in the first, whatever it is, 2.5 minutes, that Daniel has this amazing ability to let you into his soul when he does the soliloquies. I mean, there is this kind of like transparency where I feel like we're listening to somebody's deepest thoughts and feelings. And we have the benefit of his brilliant performance.
Well, Daniel, I hope I'll get to say this, and thank you guys for spending this much time. You're going to be on for another half hour with news and some commercials, but this has changed my reading of Hamlet, which is an amazing thing, because I'm not a kid, and I've thought of Hamlet sort of one way for a very, very long time, and your portrayal... And it's right to call it a portrayal, isn't it, Jeremy? It is a portrayal.
Sure.
Has enriched. It has enriched Hamlet for me. I will explain why, and I suppose listeners may give 2 cents about that, but we will explore a little more. I know this must. I want to just a little bit more about what the recording sessions were like, because they seem so intricate to me. I am carrying on with Jeremy McCarter and Daniel Kyrie. Do me a favor, ladies and gentlemen, tonight sometime go to makebelieve.fm or hamlet.fm and find out all about the Make Believe Association and avail yourself of this astonishing, astonishing podcast. Daniel Kyrie, who plays Hamlet, and you, the audience, put on some headphones, will live in Hamlet's head during the 7 episodes of this podcast. Daniel, what was this whole experience like for you? You know, you like to think, well, a podcast is two guys in their underpants sitting in a basement talking to each other. This is vastly, vastly more involved, and I can't even imagine. And Jeremy is also the director of this. I don't know if you did you rehearse this or did you just go in cold to studios? How did it happen?
We would sort of, you know, I would get my marching orders and we would have a schedule sort of put together dependent on the other actors' schedules and when they could either come in or zoom in, you know, from studios in New York, so that we could do the thing together. But, you know, my job, I speak about it in a way that it's a bit of an amalgamation of the theatrical and mm-hmm. also what it, you know, my experience on sets and in film.
Yeah.
Usually with theater, you start the thing and it's like being shot out of a cannon from beginning to end. And that's what the month of rehearsal is for. In this regard, you know, we would sit and we would talk and discuss almost from the very, you know, beginning of just like the things and the themes that we want to explore and the things that we kind of want to bring home. And I really believe in accessibility. And so my main thing was, you know, this attempt to make the language, not only the medium through which we are performing it, but the language itself as accessible as possible. So we would sit and kind of massage the language and really get on the same page about what was going on in the scene, and then we would do it. Mm. You know, so that was sort of the extent of the rehearsal. But the challenge was always for me is that we were recording, right, out of sequence.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was the biggest, toughest challenge for me in Hamlet, because you know, and also the way that Shakespeare writes, you know, it really is the characters are thinking out loud, and it's moment to moment to moment to moment. And you have to be in that moment in order to do it, you know, anywhere close to accurately. And so my challenge was remaining in that space as often as I could, even if we were shooting at or recording at a sequence.
It's a remarkable, remarkable performance. Could you ever see yourself 20 years from now with another person coming up and says, "Hey, I heard your podcast. I'd like you to do Hamlet." Could you ever see yourself doing this again? Not the same thing, but playing Hamlet.
Oh, I think if the right people.
Yeah, it'd have to be. You're right. It would have to be Jeremy McCarter, two decades older, I think, would be perfect.
But Daniel needs to play Hamlet again. Daniel is, you know, his talent is enormous. And whenever it happens, whatever lucky director and producer put something together where he gets to do this role again, I will be there on opening night cheering him on.
So powerful. I can't tell you. Jeremy McCarter, who's the person who adapted this and put it all together, how long, Jeremy, from the time you first got the notion and recruited the many, many, this is such a collaborative effort, many, many people involved in this, how long did it take?
More than 2 years. And that's with, you know, some other things happening in you know,
sure,
in and around it.
Sure.
But yeah, probably about a year to get it ready, and then we recorded it, another year to then go into post-production with it.
What's been the response? I know you were out at the Tribeca Festival. That's where that's also where this you know, this Ponzi podcast premiered too. What's been the response? People must be blown away, as I am.
I mean, the response has been really gratifying, I'll be honest. I mean, as you said earlier, I mean, we weren't sure this was going to work.
Yeah.
We weren't sure if it would make sense, if people would like it, if people would think this is a terrible thing we've done with this beloved play. And so, and to have people, you know, who haven't liked the play enjoy it means a lot. And I'll be honest, the thing that has meant the most to me, really, really rigorous about wanting this to be, there must be a better way to say it, but we felt like we were doing real Shakespeare.
Yeah.
The podcast,
yeah.
You know, there's all this technology involved. That stuff ultimately didn't matter. We felt like we wanted to be part of this tradition of people taking very seriously their connection to the way this has been done, trying to put something new on it. And so to hear from people who know Shakespeare really, really well, that they're hearing new things in it,
yeah,
or, you know, we just had someone just said, this
right,
is equal of any of the Hamlets they've seen on stage. This is, you know, it's more than we could have dreamed in the early days when we weren't sure if this was ever going to work.
Yeah, well, gentlemen, it works. I'm going to take one more break, then I'm going to come back and talk to both of you about Daniel, you are a big star of Chicago Fire, right?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah,
has that ended? Your participation?
Yes, I am moving on to the next step of my career now. It's seeing what else is out there, what else I can tackle.
Good.
You know, enriching material such as this. So, yeah.
Well, this, I mean, you know, I don't know what auditions are like these days, but I would just send anybody who's looking for anything this podcast. And go to, when you have a chance and when you have a couple hours, to Hamlet FM to listen to the podcast brought to you by the Make Believe Association of Chicago, what I call, and I'm so glad Jeremy McCarter moved here with his reporter wife and child, and I'm so glad that they picked this man that I did not know. I knew a little about you, Daniel. I'd read a bit. Daniel Kyrie, who was a local theater star and performed as Hamlet in 2018 at the amazing Gift Theater. Jeremy has a fascinating and interesting piece in the New York Times, a guest essay, in which he talks about a boomlet of productions of Hamlet that are taking place. and why Hamlet is echoing in these times. Go read it, but Jeremy, give me the short version so people will go read it. Why is it? Why is it? Yeah, there was political unrest in Hamlet. There's political unrest now. What else?
I think it, you know, Hamlet is like the song we can't get out of our heads. We're always trying to figure this play out for 425 years now. And I think this is one of those moments when their turmoil and confusion in the play mirrors the turmoil and confusion in our lives. And the argument I made in the New York Times essay is about what I think the play can contribute to all of us getting through all of that turmoil and confusion. And it is just, when we had this idea, you know, 2 years ago, we were working on it.
Yeah.
One of the big questions was, if we actually do Hamlet this way, is it just going to play the way it would play on stage?
Mm-hmm.
And this is just kind of a little like novelty, or do we actually give the audience some new insights on this play from experiencing it entirely within Hamlet's point of view?
Yeah.
And for me, I absolutely interpret the play differently than I did. I just feel like it's Daniel's performance. It's the sympathy that comes with being inside this mind of Hamlet's for 2 hours and 20 minutes. It feels much more like a coming-of-age story to me.
Yeah,
feels to me, I'm less invested in him being this, you know, raised prince who is or isn't going to, you know, kill his uncle, and more in this trapped, brilliant young man trying to understand how the world works. And this is the part that becomes consoling, if you ask me, and succeeding. He does figure out what he thinks the world means and how he's supposed to move through the world. The conversation he has with Horatio at the end, beautifully played by Daniel and Eric Hellman, to me, is the point of the story. Everyone, we all know what happens in the last scene. We have the last scene. Shakespeare wrote it. But to me, it's these days more than any others. I just think you can, but you know, everyone's mileage will vary. Go to Hamlet.fm. You may have a different interpretation of the story than I did, but for me, I know I will never think about this play the same way.
Neither will I. Daniel, as you go on to, what was it like working in the with all due respect, the Dick Wolf factory? I mean, my friend, you know, I think it's a great thing for many local actors. I think Amy Morton has you know, getting a steady paycheck, and she's a great actress, and the role on Chicago PD is not the most challenging she's ever had in her life. But that's what actors need too. You need a steady paycheck, do you not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Absolutely. Yeah. So it was wonderful. It gave me a steady paycheck, and that is the best thing that an actor can have.
Right. I hope you two collaborate on something else, because I'm really taken with this. And Daniel, are you living in Chicago now, or do you have to live in New York, I suppose?
Born, raised Chicagoan, and I have not lived anywhere else for the entirety of my career so far. So we will see what happens next. You know, if I do need to move anywhere else, you know, we'll see. But for now, Chicago's home.
That's fantastic. Fellas, I'm going to get you two together for a photographer, because I really, really want to write about this. I'm overwhelmed. It's a nice thing to be overwhelmed and enriched at the same time, and that's how I feel about what you've done with Hamlet. Go to hamlet.fm, and you'll get all sorts of information about previous Make Believe Association works, and you'll get to listen to Hamlet. So, fellas, thank you very much for spending all this time on the radio. But you know, you guys are audio guys now. You're fine about this. So, thank you both. Thank you both very much, and I will be in touch.
That's great. Awesome.
And congratulations too.